So this morning, I'm going to do something a little bit off script for myself. I was on the building site all week, and though I was praying about what I was supposed to talk about this morning, I didn't have any chance for studying, so there was no way we were going to start 2 Corinthians today. I would not have given it justice. So as I was praying about it, and I still had nothing yesterday, and I started praying, I thought, you know, this is a really great time to just pause and reflect on where we have come so far this year. And then I'm going to challenge you with your own personal spiritual walk. And as we get towards the end of this morning, but I feel like it would be really good to reflect on the goodness of God and where He's brought us so far. And of course, I want to start with finances. And I start there because it's really important. You have a financial snapshot in your bulletin. And for this whole year, we have been in the black as a church. And we are still in the black, which is, if you know our history, the last few years, we haven't been there. But we ended the first half of the year $746 in the black, which is a praise the Lord. And we need to be very grateful for that. And what God has done. And if you look down as well, we've had income for the building fund of almost $50,000 this year. So we've had some substantial gifts that have been given to the building fund, and we were starting the building project, to give you just an idea on that. We figured we were going to be about $100,000 short on what we needed, and we've made already half of that up. And with what we did last week, we probably made up a good portion of the other half, because when I did the calculation on what the crew that was going to be doing in Volunteer Christian Builders, if you used dollars and cents on that, it was probably about $50,000 worth of labor that was put into our building last week. And so we're doing very well financially as a church. And I want to start there to let you know and praise God for that, because we have been in the red. There are times we've ended up at this time of year, we're $40,000 in the red. And you can't do that very long. And we are doing very well right now. We're being very frugal with the budget, and you guys are giving, and we praise the Lord for that. And so I wanted to start there. And then I want to talk about the building project and where we've come this year. And I want to start, before we get into the slideshows, and I'm going to flip these lights off up here so we can see. But before we go, I'm going to be talking about our volunteers, but I want everybody that, well, not all the lights, we can't see each other. I was going to have people stand up and it'd be in the dark. I guess it's that you're not supposed to let your right hand know what your left hand is doing thing. But everyone that was involved in this last week with helping with that building project, and Paul, you did 2 weeks and a lot before that, so you get to as well. Please stand up. I want you to see who all has been working very diligently to make this happen. And again, absolutely. And I want to say this, Daryl and Alan and your wives, y'all stand up for a moment. We have two couples here that have been part of Volunteer Christian Builders. We had 35 people from Volunteer Christian Builders from Texas and Oklahoma that were here. That was all. It was just Texas, Oklahoma, right? That was a crew. I think it was just Texas, Oklahoma. I made this statement on Friday night. I said, you know, these aren't my kinfolk. They just sound like my kinfolk. And but thank you guys for coming and giving of yourself. On Friday afternoon, they presented us with this plaque that has their names on it, and I'm not sure where we'll put it, but it'll be in our new facility when we get there. But I made them honorary church members for life, and I can tell you they did a wonderful job. And I want to kind of go through some of the slides of where we started and where we are now. So when we started the project, about, Matt, give me a time frame. When was this, when we dug this? 6 weeks ago? Six to 8 weeks ago. This is where we were with digging out for the foundation and all the work that F&M, Matt's company, did the dirt work on that. And so that's where we were 6 to 8 weeks ago. And this is, again, the group that came, the Volunteer Christian Builders. They had their tool trailer. And by the way, tools are important. We had like, there were times there were 7 nail guns going at the same time. You couldn't find a ladder. You couldn't find a nail gun. They were throwing up walls and putting stuff together. It was pretty amazing. And so this was midweek, about midweek on the project this week, where we were with the walls. Right now, we have all the interior walls, with exception of maybe a couple of little walls, are all up. Go to the next slide. And again, these are just progressions of where we are. If you look at where the double wall is, that's going to be the height of the second floor. And those two windows, one of those is actually, the first window is going to be in the balcony area that you see there. The second window will be in the outside area. The classroom space is there. So the balcony will actually go to right about the stud of the second window is where the balcony area of the new chapel will be. And again, that's just some more pictures of people that were working and putting things together. Go ahead to the next one. And again, we had tall scaffolding, and we had one small incident. By the way, if you ever need an acrobat, Don's an acrobat. He came flying off a second, about 10 feet of scaffolding, rolled and jumped up, and the only thing he ended up with a little skin on his deal. We had a scaffolding go through the floor, and Don was unhurt, thankfully, on there. And I was the other guy, and I was hanging on the scaffolding. I didn't want to jump. And so anyway, so there's another picture of where we were with some of the construction. That's all we have? Okay. We have, so giving you up to date now, and I would encourage you to drive by and stop and go in and wander around. You can find all the rooms. We have sheeting on all the outside for about 90% of the outside. We have about two-thirds, maybe three-fourths of the floor joist on the second floor. And so we are moving along very well. And again, when you started this week, we had maybe half to two-thirds of the first floor decking done. And now we're almost ready to start putting decking on the second floor. And so if you have a chance, drive by, stop and look through the building. You can walk through and kind of see where it's going. But we are well along on where we are. And again, as I mentioned, financially we're on budget and on time frame. We don't have a specific time frame, but we feel very good about where we are right now with the time frame. And again, we're going to have a meeting in the morning, kind of have an idea of where we're headed from here and what we'll be doing. My hope is that we're going to have another couple of groups from Volunteer Christian Builders come in over the period of time, specifically if we can get the sheetrock crew that comes in. To do that, they can come in 1 week, sheetrock, tape, and texture the whole building. And if we can do that, we'll save us a lot of time. And they also have a cabinet making group, and they come in and build all custom cabinets for you in 1 week. So we're hoping to get those crews. We may end up, Daryl, did you ever hear anything on the framing crews? Okay, so we may not get another framing crew. Again, we didn't get as far as we wanted to, and I can't tell you how many of these guys came up and said, we didn't get where we wanted to today, this week. And I said, we got where God wanted us to. And they did a great job, and we're so grateful for the work that they're doing in helping us get our structure up. And again, my time frame is we'll be in by Christmas Eve service. I don't know if that's God's timing, and I'm not putting pressure on Matt or the crew or anything else to make that happen, but I would love to be in there by the end of the year if we can. But we'll see how God progresses us and how we do with that. So that gives you a financial update and a building progress update. Let me talk about ministry update, because you know one of the problems we can do, and it's part of the reason I wanted to do this today, sometimes you can lose your focus. And we don't want to lose focus and put our focus over there and forget what we are as a church, because that's not the church. This is the church. And what we're doing in ministry is what really matters in eternity. That is just a tool to be able to do ministry. And so I want to give a little bit of an update on where we are with ministry goes. And I've already had Zoe and Mariah and Alan up here. Again, last year, Zoe was our missionary for CYA and came back with, Lord grew her in tremendous ways. This year, we've got Alan and Zoe and Mariah that are teaching. I was gone last 2 weeks ago with them to training. They've learned a lot. And again, if you're here during the week, you're going to see them being able to lead a club and minister. And that's a long-term plan. Jason, by the way, the Fouts family, all the kids are going to be baptized this afternoon as soon as we're through. Jason is going to be going to Swaziland, Africa, at the end of the month for 2 weeks on a mission trip. Angel was already on a mission trip. She went down to Albuquerque. And so what I want to say is with our youth are growing and they're progressing. We don't have an official youth group. The Fouts kids go to First Baptist in Durango for youth ministry to actually be a part of the youth group. But our youth are not just idly standing by. They had one night that they helped prepare all the meals and take care of the meal for the volunteer Christian builders. And I heard that was the best night of all. Ingrid, you did a great job, by the way. Ingrid put all the meals together and coordinated that, and thank you for that. But our kids are growing up learning to serve and learning to minister, and that's the most important thing. When our kids are growing up, someday they're going to be the leaders of this church. And they are our future, and we are investing in their lives and being able to help them with that. Along with our youth, one of the other big things that most of you haven't seen anything, we've been working with Teresa for almost a year. Teresa came to me. Teresa, wave your hand for people. Yeah, you. Teresa came to me last August and said, I want to start Celebrate Recovery in our church. She's been involved with Celebrate Recovery for years. And for those of you that don't know what it is a discipleship ministry to help people get over hurts, hang-ups, and habits. Teresa gave a presentation in December while I was gone on that. But we have been meeting with leadership and preparing. We will be starting Celebrate Recovery September 9th here. And it's going to be open to the public to be able to minister to our community and to our people, to help people. We have a very hurting, broken community, if you don't know that already. And I think this is going to be one of the biggest tools we will have to help people to really get set free from addictions and help people to be able to start living lives that are productive and hopefully come to the Lord and be able to live the life that is pleasing and honoring to the Lord. So, again, there hasn't been a lot. We will be getting a lot of advertising out there. Teresa's going to be working on that. You're going to be hearing a lot about Celebrate Recovery over the next 2 months as we're preparing and invite people that are struggling to be here. It'll be on Monday nights every week. We'll be doing that, and that's one of our big pushes of what we're doing. Also, the clothes closet. Again, when we got ready to start remodeling over there in February, we moved the clothes closet here, and this summer, I think it's really been booming, especially the school lunches going on, hadn't it, Laverne? And again, we need more volunteers. I noticed that yesterday we didn't have it open. I don't think it was open. I was by here about 10, and there wasn't anybody here. Was anybody here yesterday? Took a day off. You can't take a day off, Richard. Anyway, but the ministry to our community, and really it is a great outreach to our community. We live in a very poor community, and there are thrift stores and stuff available other places, but a lot of people they don't even have cars. And for people to be able to come and provide clothing to help them out, and they do more than that. They pray for people and minister to people in our community, and our reputation and going forth with the gospel is really good. And we're working with other churches that are partnering with us. Pray for that ministry. We need volunteers and we need money. Again, the deacon, we have set aside $1,000 this year to be able to pay rent, which is about 4 months over there. I think we may have to pay rent out of that this month. Is that right, Valerie? You remember? Another month. So we've got enough money to cover us through the end of the year, but we really want that to be a sustainable ministry that stands on its own 2 feet and be able to minister to our community and to help people that are in need there. And so that's an update on the clothes closet. The other one is our children's ministry. And I want to ask this. Everybody that's involved in children's ministry, either preschool or nursery, if you would just stand up right quick. All of those of you that are involved ministering to our kiddos. Again, just remembering history. When we moved to this facility about 4 years ago, we had two children ministry coordinators. We had April and we had Sarah. We had two people on staff that were running that ministry and doing that ministry. We came to a place where we couldn't afford to have a paid person, and our elders took over, and you volunteers have helped to make it happen, and we're being able to provide a good program for our preschool and our children, and you are making that happen. If you haven't signed up to volunteer and you would like to help, talk to Guy, talk to Don, talk to Nathan about that, because we need more volunteers, because what our goal is to have people in there once a month, twice a year. And right now we don't have that many volunteers, but we'd like the idea of having a monthly group in there, because you get continuity, you get to know the kids, you know the lessons, and then you don't have to do it again for 6 months or so. And I think we're on about a 4-month rotation right now. And so if you would be interested in helping in that area, we do need more help with that. But I want to say this, and it's the reason I ask people to stand up. If you look at our church, and somebody has said this before, and I want to talk about the health of the church. We have probably right now, as far as attendance goes, we are the lowest attendance on an average weekly basis we've been since I've been a pastor, and that's been 13 years. But as far as health goes and involvement in ministry goes, we are by far the healthiest church we've ever been. And I'll take the health over the numbers any day. And almost everybody here is involved. And that is very important. When you look at what church is, again, I want to go back to a survey we did 2 years ago in July. We did a church survey at that time. And Nathan, if you remember, Nathan Herbst came in and did a survey of the church, and then we met as a ministry summit to go over that survey, and we talked about what was the best things in our church and what was the worst things in our church and how we were measuring up on different things in our church. And what was interesting, and this really impacted me as your pastor, and we really started making some adjustments at that time. When they surveyed our congregation, the thing that was best about the church was my preaching. And I'm not saying that to brag on me. But here was the other side. The worst part of our church was our discipleship. And it really made me step back and say, what are you doing? Because the goal of the church is to make disciples. And we weren't making disciples, according to you. You didn't feel like you were being discipled. And I'm going, preaching does not equate in discipleship. And it really affected the way we started looking at our church and moving forward in our church and what we needed to do different. And I think if we were to take that survey today, I think we would score a lot higher on the discipleship. I don't know where the preaching would be, but the discipleship, I think, would be a lot higher. And that's what matters. See, we're not here to be entertained on Sunday morning, are we? We're here to minister to one another and to go in and reach the world for Christ. And that's our goal. I mean, we have a great fellowship and we love getting together, but that's not the only reason we're here. And I shared with you guys about spiritual gifts when we were going through 1 Corinthians 12, two or three months ago, and I talked about our spiritual gifts. And again, the whole teaching in 1 Corinthians on spiritual gifts is about how we use what God has given each of us to help others. Our spiritual gifts are never to be used in a closet. They're never to be used for my benefit. You know, if I'm a good preacher, it's for your benefit, not for me. And I think that we are becoming more and more aware of that. And I want to challenge you guys with our church moving forward. And we're going to look at a personal spiritual checkup here in just a minute for each of you. And I'm going to challenge you with some stuff. But coming to church on Sunday morning with an expectation of, God, use me. Who needs a kind word from me this morning? When I walk in and I see a need, that I jump in and I feel that need. Because that's probably my spiritual gift, if you see the need. And being able to become a magnet where God is using you to further His kingdom here. And then when we walk out the doors, that same gifting is going to attract people into this church. And it's going to help us to grow this church. Because I said a while ago, I would rather be small than healthy than large and unhealthy. But guys, I don't want to stay small and healthy. And I hope you don't either. Because if our goal is to stay small and healthy, we're not fulfilling the kingdom. We're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. And I've said this, and I want to say it again. We're not building that facility over there so we can get big. We're building that facility so we can minister to our congregation and to our community. I'll give you one more thing that I've already started. And I don't know, parents, if they've talked to you yet. On the way home from CY training last Saturday, one of the things that CEF does is Good News Clubs. It's a weekly Bible club that you do with elementary age kids. I did one across the street over here in the apartments for 5 years when I was with CEF before I became a pastor. And I talked to Mariah and Zoe and Alan on the way home from training. I said, how would you guys like to start a Good News Club on Wednesdays when we have early release? And we do it over in our new fellowship hall when we get it built. And they all said yes. Parents, got work to do. But I tell you, if we can reach these young kids in our community, what a difference we can make in the next generation. And that facility is going to be a part of it. And I really believe we're growing up an army that can do that. And these young kids can do such a good job. They're doing it in Pagosa. They have an after-school program in Pagosa. I think they have three of them, actually. And they're reaching the children in that community. And so as we continue to progress and grow as a church, it is more and more about us being healthy on the inside and us being a light on the outside. And our community needs it so terribly bad. And so continue to pray for that and for what we're doing corporately. But I want to transition to your bulletin. And you have in your bulletin an outline there in there for where sermon notes normally are. And it's a personal spiritual checkup. And I want to start by saying this. As I was praying yesterday about what would be good, I wanted to read the whole Psalm 119. Robin, thank you for stepping in this morning reading, by the way. That was last bit as well. But it's the longest chapter in the Bible. It's 176 verses. I would encourage you to go back and read not just the first 16 verses, but that whole psalm. That psalm is a unbelievable work that God gave David. I took out Aleph and Beit from the psalm this morning, but that psalm is divided up in stanzas. Every 8 verses, you have a letter of the alphabet. So if you look at your Bible and it says Aleph, that's the A of the Hebrew alphabet. And it's divided up, that whole psalm, with the alphabet of the Hebrew alphabet. And every one of those stanzas of 8 verses talks about God's word, how wonderful God's word is, how loving God's word is, how David desires more than anything to live by God's word. Which brings me to the first point in your outline, in your first question there. Do you have a daily time where you read your Bible and pray? If you don't, you're starving. Because Jesus talks about the bread of life is the Word of God. And if we are not in the Word as Christians every day reading the Bible, we are going to be unhealthy. We're going to be anemic. We're going to be weak in our spiritual lives. And I really want to challenge you. I've done this ever since I've been your pastor and before I was a senior pastor when I was associate pastor. Probably 15 years ago, I started giving out one-year Bibles. How many of you have done the one-year Bible at least once? How many of you have done it more than once? Good. The one-year Bible is a great reading plan where you go through the whole Bible every year. It takes about 10 minutes a day, by the way, if you're a slow reader. It isn't that hard. But if you look at the church in America today, the church in America today is dying. And part of the reason is we have become so anemic, we don't know the truth. We don't know. I mean, I've shared this before in services. 80% of Christians, or people who call themselves Christians, these are people who go to church. 80% of them have never read the whole entire New Testament. Forget the Old Testament. They haven't even read the New Testament. But here's what's interesting. 50% of the people who attend church believe there's another way to get to heaven besides Jesus. 50%. And I'm talking about evangelical churches in America. 50% say it's okay if you're a homosexual. 50% are living in sin. I mean, so many of our young people are living in relationships outside of marriage. There is almost no distinction between Christians and non-Christians in our society. Why? Because we don't know the Word of God, we are not living lives that God wants us to live. And I pray, and one of my biggest prayers for all of us here is that we aren't that. We break that percentage. That we become strong in the Word of God. And we can't wait on Sunday morning for Randall for 45 minutes to get it done. It ain't going to happen. I can't be that good. By the way, Jesus wasn't that good. So we need to be in the Word of God every day. Make time to do that. And again, when we're busy building the church, again, it was hard. But I did my daily Bible reading and my devotions every day, even though I was up way before I usually get up and going to bed way later than I usually go to bed the last 2 weeks between CYA and a building project. Make a commitment to read your Bible if you're not. And if it's a one-year plan or if nothing else, start in the New Testament in Matthew and just read a chapter a day. Do something. It's so important to do that. And again, when we think about prayer, this is one of the green pages of the kids in there with the wordless book that they teach. But in the green page on growth is reading God's word in prayer. You know, it's interesting when we talk about prayer, a lot of our prayer is us conversing with God, isn't it? Telling God what we need, telling God all these things, and we're doing a lot of the talking. Do you know why God mostly speaks to us? Is through His Word. He does me. There are very few days when I pick up my Bible reading that God doesn't speak to me and minister to me in that way. So I just challenge you. There's a verse there from 2 Timothy. Any of you that grew up in Awanas, this is the key verse of Awanas. It's actually the acronym of Awana. Is approved workmen are not ashamed from this verse. Work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive His approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth. That verse isn't just for preachers. It's not just for elders. It's not just for Sunday school teachers. It's for everyone. We need to be able to know the Word of God and to not be ashamed of what we are, what we say there. And there really is no excuses for that other than we just aren't disciplined and committed to doing that. So I challenge you, if you haven't started a daily devotional time, do it the last half of this year. So when I check up on you January 1, you'll say, I did it. Not for me, but for yourself. The second thing I have a question there is your faith getting stronger, and are you less anxious about things? You know, it's one thing to read the Bible, it's another to apply it. And as I was thinking about how can we do a checkup on ourselves spiritually in dealing with anxiety and with how we're getting stronger, I really think that is one of the best barometers for a spiritual life. Are you worried about stuff? And are you less worried today than you were 6 months ago? Again, I'm applying this to my own self. We were on the job site, and Matt had to remind me last week when we were in the midst of it, trying to figure everything out and get it done. He says, God got this, Randall. Thank you, Matt. And, you know, and the thing is, I have that tendency as well. You know, and I believe that one of the biggest things that helps us to know that we really are maturing in Christ is that we're less and less anxious every day. We got peace. I remember many years ago when I was in Bible college, and I may have shared this story with you, but maybe somebody in here hadn't heard it. When I was at Criswell College, I remember a professor, Dr. Gary Gagliotti, taught Old Testament, and he was teaching through the book of Jeremiah, and I actually finished the book of Jeremiah, that class, the day that Jeremiah, my son, was born. That's another story for another day. But I was in class, and we called him the prof, but he was always talking about how Americans, this is 30 years ago, by the way, he was talking about how weak we are, Christian, and we're not ready for tribulation, we're not trouble. You know, he was talking about this 30 years ago when we were probably a little better off than we are now. And I remember running up to him after class one day, and I was dealing with a situation in the church I was going to, and I mean, I was so emotional, and some of you see me really emotional. I was very emotional and just pouring out my heart to him about this situation, and I was just going on and on, and when I finally paused long enough for him to respond, he said, Randall, you're in sin. I said, Dr. Gallio, you don't understand. And I went on. I kept doing it again. It took him 3 times for me to finally ask him what he meant. And I finally asked him, what do you mean I'm in sin? He said, you have allowed that situation to take away your peace. And anything that takes away your peace has gotten between you and God, and that's sin. It's idolatry. Any of us here this morning in idolatry? Because we put stuff, we worry about stuff, we deal with stuff, and we're not giving it to God. And I remember, and some of you were here that Sunday morning, probably 10 years ago when I was teaching through the book of Philippians and dealing with the passage in Philippians 4, verse 6 through 8, where it says, be anxious for nothing, but prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. Remember that? How many of you were here that morning? You will remember it if you were here. Penny, you were here? So it hadn't been that long ago. Well, what happened that morning, to give you a context, Nicholas was not in church that morning with Sherry. He was extremely ill. He was so ill, he was laying on the floor in our living room with his nephritis. His kidneys were not working. He was sick. We didn't know what was going on. He was extremely ill. Remember that, Nicholas? Oh, yeah, he remembers. And I got to church that morning, and I was preaching on this, and I made the comment, should I be worried about Nicholas? And I remember somebody that was in the congregation that doesn't attend church here anymore said, absolutely. And I said, no. I'm supposed to pray for Nicholas. And I've said this for years, and many of you have heard me say it. You can't worry and pray at the same time. And I said, no. Well, in the meantime, there's an ambulance that's pulled up in the back of the church. And I'm going, okay, what's going on? And I watched Sally Richard. She was sitting over by the speaker in the back. People helped Sally get up and escorted her to the ambulance. Well, sermon's done at this time. You know, you don't keep preaching with that going on. And so I inquired what was going on, and Sally was apparently having a heart attack. It ended up not being a heart attack. I think she ended up with an oblation like you did, Jeannie, is what happened with, and like your dad, Penny. But she had a heart problem, and she was in pain, and they were escorting her ambulance. She was on the way to the hospital. And we just stopped and prayed. But God gave us an illustration. It was so powerful that day. Because as you can tell, Nicholas got okay, mostly. No, I'm just kidding. But the thing is, God's got it. Whatever it is, God's got it. And our spiritual maturity will test us on whether or not we let God have it. You know, there's a passage in Peter, not this one that I have here, but there's another passage in chapter 5 that says, cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. And I think what most of us do is go fishing. You know what we do? We cast it out there and then we reel it back in. And we cast it out there and reel it back in. No, you got to cut the line. You throw it out there and you leave it. And I believe spiritual maturity is how much of it are we carrying around and how much of it we give to the Lord. 2 Peter 3:18 says, rather you must grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Are we growing in God's grace and His knowledge in our lives? And if we're not, what do we need to do to make that happen? Because God doesn't want us stagnant in our personal lives. A few other questions there for you. Are you personally furthering the kingdom of God? And I gave two questions under that to kind of help to relate that to us. Have you personally shared the gospel with anyone this year? If you haven't personally shared the gospel with anyone this year, you're either not running in a circle where you need to be running, or you're not being bold enough and courageous enough and listening to God in order to share that, because we need to be telling people the good news. And it's great news. And I ran into my good friend Neil yesterday. Many of you know Neil Scott, but I ran into him in the grocery store, and I said, Neil, you need to go by and look at the church. I mean, that's great news, isn't it, for us? But that's minor news compared to what Jesus did for us. We need to be out there sharing and ministering to people and helping people. That's the other one there. Have you ministered to the needs of someone? Because again, that oftentimes will open the door to share the gospel with them. But if you haven't done anything to help anyone or shared with anyone this year, are you really building the kingdom of God? Because that's all of us are supposed to be doing that. And I love this passage in John. This was Jesus' high priestly prayer right before he went to the cross. This is his last words to his disciples as he's praying for them, but he's praying for us as well. And look what he says. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world. Who is them? You and me. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. They do not belong to this world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. That's our job. And if we're too busy or we're negligent and we're not going into the world and sharing the good news, the truth of Jesus, we're not fulfilling the Great Commission. And that wasn't a suggestion. It was a command by Jesus that we go into the world and we share the gospel. And not all of us are going to go to Vanuatu like Bridgetta. Praise God she's there. Most of us need to just step across the street to our neighbor and minister to them. And I challenge us to do that, because I shared this with the CYers. And I want to, I've shared this before in here. If I only reach one person for Christ this year, and I'm starting with just me, if I reach one person for Christ and disciple them and reproduce myself in them, and next year they go out and reach one person and I go reach one person, and then the next year the four of us go out and reach eight people, how long before we reach the world for Christ? Anybody know the math? This will blow you away, because this is the multiplication principle. In the 34th year, you have reached 16 billion people. Did you get that number? That's more than double what's on the earth today. So we're giving, you know, the growth curve there a little bit of room. See, if we are each personally doing our part, we will fulfill the Great Commission. And we won't always have that multiplication process. But the thing is, in 5 years, our church should be too small. We're having to have three services when we get over there, if we're doing our jobs. God is the one that gives the increase, but we need to be doing our part in ministering to people. The last question I have there, again, is very personal. How are you doing with personal relationships? How are you doing with your wife and your children and your other family members? How are you doing with your friends and acquaintances? How do your neighbors feel about you? We've got some neighbors mad at us over on the other street, by the way. We had a crane out there about 7:15, 7:30 in the morning going, beep, 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 beep on Friday morning. Did you hear it at your house, Amanda? Oh, that's good. I'm glad we just got our block angry at us. But, you know, we had some parking issues and people were angry. And we'll resolve those. That just happens with people. And we'll love them anyway. But the thing is, how are we doing with acquaintances and relationships? How are we doing with our spouses and our children? You know, again, I often hear it, and you hear me say it. People come up to me and they start trying to brag on me about how great a guy I am. I said, go talk to Sherry. She knows the real me. Rest of you see the other one. And I hope I'm not a hypocrite, and I hope that you see the genuine me. But we all need to be working on relationships, because they're so important. We need to love people. We need to love one another. And we need to grow in that. And so I just want to challenge you this morning. Where are you with your personal relationship with the Lord? Are you growing? Don't be stagnant. God wants us to continue to grow as long as we're breathing air. And if we are growing, if we're growing personally in our spiritual relationship with the Lord, we will be ministering to our community. We will be ministering to our families. We will be making a difference in the world. We will fulfill the Great Commission. But it's a priority. And it's the discipline to say, I'm going to do this. It's sad for me to say this. When I came to this church as a pastor, I'd never read through the Bible all the way through. I'd been to Bible college and seminary. I'd studied most of it, but I'd never read through the whole thing. But I made a commitment about 15 years ago that I would, and I've done it every year since. And you know, it's so funny when somebody reads through the Bible and says, I did it, don't need to do that anymore. Really? January 1, I start over again. And do it again, and do it again, and do it again. You know why? Because I'm a real slow learner. And so are you. We need God's word. We need to be in prayer. We need to be actively reaching into our world. We need to be making a difference. We've got a big job to complete over there, and a lot of the work that's going to be doing over there will be us. I'm not sure how much volunteer help we're going to have. I will say this, One of Matt's friends found out on July the 4th, on Independence Day, that he was over there working. His wife asked Ingrid where Matt was that day. He said, oh, he's working on building the church. And he texted Matt, said, can I come help? And Matt said, no. I worked with him 2 days over there. Great guy. And, you know, probably will see him over there a lot. And that's cool, isn't it? That you have people like that that are willing to come and do that. I hope you're encouraged, but I hope you're challenged as you leave this morning. Because just as we see that going up over there, I want us to personally be growing and not falling behind. I want us to not lose our focus about what God wants us to be doing in the lives of our neighbors and one another. I guarantee you, when I get busy on a crew over there, and Daryl will tell you, I get very tunnel vision and just working my tail off, and I ignore everybody, and I just go at it. And you do too, don't you, Daryl? But we don't want to ever forget people, because that's what really matters. That's what will last for eternity. I believe we're building something that will last for generations to come, if the Lord tarries. And I believe that's important. But what we do in here as one another and what we do in our personal lives, that will last for eternity. That's most important. We're going to pass out communion. And again, we have visitors here this morning. And one of the things that we do as a church is we celebrate communion every week. You're invited. This is the Lord's table, and you're invited to be a part of it with us. And we do this in two reasons. One, it is a preaching of the gospel. You know, I don't get up here and do John 3:16 every day, every Sunday. And that's the most important news, and we talked about that when we went through 1 Corinthians 15. But when we come to communion, that's what we're doing. It's a preaching of the gospel for those that may be in our presence that don't know the Lord. But the other part is, and Jesus commanded this, again, it wasn't a suggestion. He said, when you come together, remember my death. Remember what I did for you. Because our greatest motivation for living the Christian life, for getting up and reading scripture, for taking our holidays to go work on a building rather than going to the lake, our greatest motivation for everything we do should be the cross of Christ. And we need to be reminded of that. Because what Jesus did for us when he went to the cross was greater than all the things that all of us will ever be able to do corporately. We can't pay back what Jesus did, and we're not trying to. But it's the motivation of why we do it. We do it because Christ went to the cross, and he died for us, and he loves us. And we need to be reminded of that. Why? Because we're slow learners. And I think Jesus understood that about us. And that's why he says, every time you come together, you remember what I did for you. Because there can be this attitude in us that, well, I did my part. Yeah, I taught kids back a few years ago, but, you know, I did that. I don't have to do that anymore. I put in my 2 days on the building project. I'm done. No, we never quit in the kingdom. There's no retirement in the kingdom. One of the things I loved about the volunteer Christian builders that came this week is I was one of the young guys on the site. I want to share this testimony. I had two men over 80 years old underneath the floor on Monday morning with an 18-year-old girl putting up wall supports. And I'm sitting there looking at those people grunting and crawling around that girl on her knees. And Matt's hard dirt, by the way, as I was there, my knees are still sore. And I'm looking at these men and that young girl doing that work, and I'm going, wow. I hope I can still do that when I'm 80. But the fact that those men were able to do that, and they were willing to do that, That's one of the things I saw all week with Volunteer Christian Builders, this group of people. They just jumped in, did everything that needed to be done. You know, we had a lot of hiccups and a lot of things we had to overcome, and they just kept plowing. And that's a testimony to me, and it needs to be a testimony to us. We just keep plowing. We keep going. We never stop until we breathe our last breath. And we do it because of what Jesus did for us. Jesus said, when you come together, remember what I did. This bread represents my body that was broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Listen. And Jesus said, this cup represents my blood that was spilled for you when I died on the cross to give you forgiveness of sins. Let's drink. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can gather together as your people to worship you, to praise you, to love you. And we remember what you have done for us. And Lord, may it be the only motivation we ever have to do the things you've commanded us to. We don't do it out of duty. We do it out of love and gratitude. And help us to have good hearts. Help us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, to know you better and better every day. So when the day comes and we breathe our last breath, there won't be a transition hardly at all in our lives from here to there when we go home to be with you. And Lord, may our hope of the future, the resurrection, motivate us to live for you as well. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for us. Thank you for setting the ultimate example for us on how we are to live and how we are to give. And help us, Lord, to be a better people as we do this. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So instructions. We're going to have our benediction in just a moment. Get your children. Let's gather out in behind the church, and we're going to be baptizing. And then after baptism, we need to clear this room. You know what? It's going to take a couple of minutes for your kids to change clothes. Are y'all changing clothes, guys? Why don't we do this? Let's flip that. Let's go in and clear this room with those of you that are not involved with baptism and don't have to get kids, and then we'll meet right out there in just a few minutes, okay? 5 minutes or so. But I think we can clear this room with who's here, and then we'll meet right out there for that. Before you go, hold on. Let's do our benediction. All right, let's all stand and be dismissed with our benediction. Now all glory to God, who is able to keep you from stumbling and who will bring you into his glorious presence, innocent of sin and with great joy.